Thank you for flying Air Fish Fry, ladies and gentlemen. This week's High Flying Broadcast is brought to you by the Fun Flyers at eejournal.com and piloted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. We're headed to the clouds, so get those seat belts fastened up tight. Have you ever considered what your life would be like without the cloud? Without all of your music at the touch of a button? Wait, where was that song again? On their second or third album? Let me get out my record player and find it in the grooves. And yes, if you were wondering, I do remember those days. My sister bought me my first records in 1980. Anyway, we've all gotten pretty used to the cloud in our personal lives. But what about our design lives? What about the state of the cloud in EE? In EDA? Why hasn't the cloud made its way into our everyday engineering lives? On some level, maybe it has. But what about our tools? Our design details? In the first part of our interview, doubleheader this week, I sit down with Moji Qian, CEO of Silicon Cloud International, and talk about this very thing. Check it out. Thank you so much for joining me today, Moji.
Well, thank you very much.
So first off, there's been quite a resistance of cloud-based stuff in EDA. Now, how do you think we can all get past that fear?
Well, the resistance really has been driven by a series of technical challenges as well as business challenges. On the technical side, two of the major issues are security and high-performance computing for semiconductor type of design tasks. And we believe that in Silicon Cloud, we have address those two technical challenges. On the business part, the EDA industry does now need to have a new model to be able to address a whole new set of small design companies that are coming to existence focusing on IoT design.
So let's talk about the benefits the cloud brings to engineers. What do you think the benefits are?
Well, the cloud computing and semiconductor design in the cloud will remove the burden of setting up the design infrastructure. Instead of the designers or the companies taking the EDA tools from EDA companies, PDKs from manufacturers, buy computers, set up the whole flow, and spend a whole lot of expenses, time, on activities that are not really directly related to their design. They much more prefer to spend their time on design than building the car. We build the car for them and let them drive it.
All right, Moji, let's talk about one of the biggest hot button words of all of EE, IoT. Now, you guys have an IoT design enablement cloud. Now, what is that all about?
Well, when you look at the IoT, there are three major components of the IoT. This is the cloud, the gateway, and the IoT node. IoT nodes are also called endpoints or IoT sensors. Silicon Cloud provides a design platform for IoT node designs. Now, IoT nodes are comprised of semiconductors as well as sensors. So in Silicon Cloud, we are providing turnkey design solutions for semiconductor design as well as the type of tools that are needed by designers for the sensor design.
All right, Moji, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, let's talk about the last meal you're going to have on Earth. It's one meal, you're going to kick it soon. You can have one last meal on the planet Earth. What would it be?
That has to be white pepper crab from Singapore.
And I'm very proud to say I have had that in Singapore. Very, very good answer.
No signboard. If you're going to be in Singapore and you're going to have that dish, you got to go to no signboard.
Well, next time I'm there, I will check it out. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Moji. This was a pleasure.
Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Next up, this week, we're looking at the other side of the EE coin, hardware. And more specifically, finding the security holes in your hardware. Please let me introduce you to Jason Oberg from Tortuga Logic. Tortuga Logic is a brand new startup dedicated to finding your critical hardware security problems. Thank you so much for joining me today, Jason.
Thanks for having me.
So first off, you're an expert in the field of hardware security. Now, What attracted you to hardware security?
So it was actually really by accident. I was looking for a research project when I was a PhD student, and my advisor was working on it and thought, you know, I want to get a PhD and finish in a timely manner, so I might as well start working on it. And it ended up, the space started really emerging, and DAC spawned a security track while I was in the early stages of my PhD, and conferences started popping up. And so, yeah, it was really by accident.
So when did you decide to launch Tortuga and commercialize this work?
So we went through this National Science Foundation sponsored program called the Innovation Course. So the whole program is centered around seeing if research you're doing is worth pursuing commercially. So we applied for this program. They gave us $50,000 to do basically market validation. So we went around and we talked with over 100 different people in the span of about 8 weeks, just across the industry, saw that what we were doing is in demand in the industry. And so they were looking for solutions, and we saw that we could shrink wrap all of this technology into a hardware security verification tool. And so we started the company right after that program. This was in spring of 2013.
So as an overreaching question, Jason, why do you think hardware security is so important now?
So I think we're seeing a big trend with IoT and everything. Where conventionally, you know, you think of security and things were all software problems. You had enterprise systems, people were trying to do denial of service attacks and that sort of thing. But now as things become more embedded and we're seeing more very simple devices being connected, these are essentially complex hardware systems running relatively simple software. I mean, pretty complex software, but they're mostly hardware heavy systems that are now connected. And so with that, it's bringing a whole new class of attackers who are now actually focusing on hardware. And so that's, I think, what's really starting to drive a lot of the concern that we need to actually ensure that security is built in from the very beginning.
So I recently saw that Tortuga Logic and OneSpin have an OEM agreement. Now, how exactly is your technology linked?
I think with security, one of the most powerful things you can do is if you can prove it. So with formal technology, you can actually prove different properties. And so we didn't want to go and build a whole formal suite. We're security experts. We don't have the background in EDA. We didn't want to build a formal platform. And so we found OneSpin, and note they have a great formal platform and a very good list of contacts that would be very interested in security solutions. So we started this partnership with them.
So tell me, how did you guys come up with the name Tortuga Logic?
Yeah, so it's a funny story. One of our early investors was giving me a hard time the other day about how we should put a tagline so people kind of get it. What does Tortuga mean? So we were from both UC San Diego and UC Santa Barbara. That's where our founders came from. So we're looking for something aquatic. And we're actually playing with the idea of urchin for a while, because urchins sounds kind of weird, but, you know, they're spiky. But in general, Tortuga is Spanish for turtle. Turtles have a secure shell. So that's kind of, we were looking for something aquatic plus that was hardened. So that's where we came up with the name.
So just as a wrap up for my audience who may not know, give me the 30,000 feet view. What does Tortuga Logic do?
So our broader vision is to really help secure all chipsets. Right now, what we have is a hardware security verification tool. So it's a tool that engineers can use to find security problems. But our backgrounds are on hardware security. Our goal is to really build the solutions across the industry for solving, just like, you know, you have the large software security companies out there. We want to be that for the hardware design space.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Jason. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thanks for having me.
And now it's time for me to announce the winner of last week's Nerdy Giveaway. A couple weeks ago, I unveiled the Odyssey Max 10 FPGA and BLE sensor kit with a little help from Steve Sharp from Macnica. And now I have a winner. A big shout out to everyone who entered. Maybe Macnica will send me a couple more kits to give away in a future episode. Steve, if you're listening, you know, come through for me, buddy. And the winner is Lord Low, who went public with his entry and posted not once, but twice on our forums on eejournal.com that he wanted to win this kit. Now that is dedication. Lord Low, your kit should be on its way to you shortly. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, you can also join our circle on Google Plus. We also have a YouTube channel, keyword EEJournal, chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very own popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed via Podbean or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you everyone for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of July 31st, 2015, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.